This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon, JD. How the heck are you?
I'm all right. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Congrats on winning another series. Is this more what you had in mind when you put this team together?
Well, I mean, I've played a little bit better. I mean, for sure, we starting pitching just been really good. Obviously, we swung the bats a little bit better. There's a lot more we can improve, but it was a good road trip.
So just following up on that, now, as strange as this is, you're 20 games into a 60-game season. So we're a third of the way there, which makes it time for questions that seems weird after 20 games. But
Right. Have
you had any positive surprises here, or are there things in particular you would like to see the team doing better as we are here at the one-third pole?
I mean, there's a ton we can do better. Some of the bright spots for me, I mean, Solak and Kiner, the way that those guys have played, even on days where they may go over, you know, they find ways to contribute, whether it's defensively or just grinding out deep count at bats, getting on base, their base running. So those guys have stood out as a couple of bright spots. Overall, there's a lot we can do better. I mean, our starting pitching has been pretty good. Our base running, despite, you know, a couple things over the weekend, on the whole, has been pretty good. Our defense, you know, needs to tighten up, and this overall quality of our bats, another area that can get better.
How much evidence do you have that we can expect that from the individuals you have assigned to those jobs?
The players, you're saying?
Yeah.
It kind of depends on the individual. I mean, I think there's clear areas that we can get better. I mean, listen, there are guys like Willie Calhoun, he's going to hit, right? He's hit at every level. He's hit every stop along the way. He's going to hit. He's a better offensive player than he's been. Joey is, he's had moments, but, we know he can take it to another level. Elvis and Rugi are clearly capable of more. So there's definitely guys here that are capable of doing more than they've done so far.
Is the defensive portion of it just execution? What do you think's key there for getting that kind of stuff cleaned up?
So that's probably the biggest piece of it. I mean, a lot of these are not plays that, that are athleticism and range that's holding us back. And a lot of these are being in the right spot and more execution than anything else. So, yeah, I think that the kind of an increased focus in that area can definitely help.
JD, did you buy your scouts a steak dinner for the Dietrich find? Did you go out and say, hey, boys, this one's on me tonight, kind of a thing?
Cause yeah, it's fun when a guy comes in and makes an immediate impact. And, all things that you kind of knew coming in, he had power, he could move around a little bit. But, again, it was kind of the energy piece that really drew us to him the most. And to give Woody a bat off the bench option on days he's not starting. So, doing a good start. He's had a long career to this point. You know, he's capable of doing some things, but he's fit in well here early on.
So it looks like he's going to be playing first base today, if I'm reading this right. Kiner Falefa playing shortstop and Elvis out of the lineup. Elvis is one of those guys that's been here for so long, and people are such big fans of him, myself included, for a long time, that he tends to get the benefit of the doubt. But when we're talking about Rugi's struggles at the plate, we'd probably be doing a disservice if we didn't mention Elvis as well. Out of the lineup today, is that something we could see more of, or is there enough of a track record that you feel really good about him pretty much every day out there?
I feel good about him. I mean, he's clearly capable of a lot more, but I do think it's something where, especially in a short season, and Woody's saying, you know, the best guys are going to play, that we're going to need to see more, you know, in the short term. And, you know, one of the things that Elvis brings to the table is he's just so durable, right? I mean, it's hard to, I mean, he posts every single day, and you don't want to take that for granted. You don't want to overlook that, because that's not something that everybody can do. But at the same time, like, you know, there's a level of competition we've got now. We've talked about Kiner, we've talked about Solak, Danny Santana now getting into the middle infield mix, you know, here soon, Dietrich, and so, you know, Frazier. And I think Woody's at a point now in the season where, you know, we're only 20 games in, but we're a third of the way in, and we're approaching the trade deadline. He's going to play the guys that are going to give us the best chance to win that day. And so I do think that level of competition hopefully pushes Elvis, pushes all.
Okay, go ahead, Gavin, I'm sorry.
Yeah, how nice is it to have Danny Santana back, and ideally, where would you like him to spend his days?
You know, I think for the time being, it's going to be primarily options are kind of DH, first base, and then I think second base pretty soon. We talked about it as possibly even this week, but I don't know 100%. We got to get medical clearance there. But I just think, you know, having he looks so good offensively in the spring training 2.0. You know, got off to a slow start the first week, but a lot of guys did. And, you know, if he can – the way he was swinging the bat in spring training, where he was able to really shrink the strike zone and lay off balls out of the zone, if he gets back to that, and we know, like, the ball jumps off his bat when he clips it. So if he gets back to that ability to shrink it – you saw last night through the base-loaded walk as well. So I am excited to have him back. I think as a switch hitter with some defensive versatility and some power, it gives Woody some nice options.
I want to go back to Izzy for a second, because what he brings seems to me to be very rare. Can you talk about, because the way I understand it is that he's not just capable of playing a lot of positions, but is a plus defender at a lot of different positions. How many spots on the diamond do you guys have him evaluated as being not just he can get by, but a plus defender?
I think second and third, very clearly. You know, it's been a while since we've seen him for extended periods at shortstop, but I think shortstop could very well fit in there as well. I think he's athletic enough and has the speed. If we asked him to go out in the outfield, he could. He could be pretty good out there. We know he's caught in the big league, so he does bring a ton of versatility. But I think he's legitimately a well above average defender at third base, and you know, as much as I like moving him around, I hate to take him away from there. Obviously, we got a veteran guy in Frazier who's very capable, but I think Izzy set the bar so high there at third base. He's, you know, when he filled in for an injured Adrian a couple of years ago, he graded out as one of the better third basemen in the league that year too. So this is something that he brings huge value to the club, and he gives you good at bats, and he's flying down the line. So I think he's a player that's just starting to scratch the surface.
JD, this is a general manager's question. When you get close to the trade deadline, do general managers field more calls about starting pitching or relievers as they're going along there?
I think probably bullpen, just because I think every club is looking for pen pretty much all times. But I think you have conversations on both. I mean, there's never enough pitching to go around.
What kind of trades would you be looking to do if you do make one at the deadline here?
We're still sorting through that. You know, I think we don't have to declare just yet. And listen, I don't know. And we may not do a whole lot of anything. You know, I'm not totally sure yet kind of where the market's going to be and whether how much the all the different COVID factors are going to play into it with teams, how they're viewing the season. But we've started having conversations here the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 days. Probably have a better idea by this time next week.
JD, and a question I have, this is probably outside. I mean, you know, what's going on in Cleveland right now? I know you have your own team you have to worry about. But if you had a situation like they're having in Cleveland where they have players basically coming out and saying, hey, we don't feel like that these players let us down, is that something a general manager steps in and says, hey, we need to have a meeting about this, we need to talk about this? Are you listening to players' conversations if you were in that situation?
100%. Yeah, I think you have to, especially in this topic, right, where it's quite literally puts people's health and then by extension their livelihood at risk. So, yes, that's something that we would discuss with the group, but we've already had some of those conversations. You know, I mean, we have MLB's rules and we have kind of our normal team rules, but we've got kind of a COVID code of conduct that, you know, we've had a couple team meetings to discuss. We met with some of the veteran guys and the leaders, and then we met with the whole team a couple times and talked through it. And then we've had a couple of smaller conversations with some of the team leaders about, you know, how we would handle it if you know, there are infractions. And then there's obviously different variations there, from some minor stuff to some more extreme. But I'll tell you, like, the players, not only do I think they should be involved, I think they're driving that piece of it, right? Because they know how critical it is. And so that's what seems like some of the comments you got at Cleveland were. And I think that was some of the sentiment we got from our players too, is that, hey, like, you know, they don't even anticipate we're going to have to get that involved, because they're going to be very stringent with each other.
JD, in your experience, how much do players either feel or not feel the pressure? Because when you talk about, well, we'll have a better idea probably a week from now, do the players realize, hey, we've only played 20, and over the next 5 or 6, we're probably going to decide if we're going to get you help or not?
I'm sure they do. I mean, I know for a fact that, I haven't talked to anybody about it this year, but in years past, that, you know, guys are very aware. You got, you know, MLB networks playing in the clubhouse, and guys are locked in, and so they're certainly aware of what's going on. Some guys handle it differently. Like, some guys handle their name being in the media or in headlines or trade rumors, and it doesn't bother them. And some guys, it like really affects their performance. So, you know, generally prefer to keep things relatively quiet for a variety of reasons, but that's chief among them.
Rangers and Padres tonight, 8 o'clock here on The Fan. Give them hell, JD. We'll be pulling for you.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
There he goes. You betcha. Rangers GM John Daniels with us every Monday at 4:20, brought to you by City Center Fort Worth, the premier business address for office space in downtown Fort Worth. Find out more at citycenterfw.com. And Budweiser Nitro Gold, infused with nitro for a taste as smooth as silk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.